The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The boa constrictor does it again.
What else can you say, really, about Alexi Olenek? He's still got it.
Alexi, the boa constrictor Olenek.
CTV, the Korean zombie does it again.
I want Volkanovski.
The Korean zombie.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
And with that, we start. Matt came in upside down and dropped his camera. Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Oh, Jimmy, I'm so happy to see you.
Hi, buddy. It's good to see
Jimmy,
you.
I know it's down to the wire. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It's my buddy, my brown belt, Augie, his birthday today. So I stopped down at the school, Sarah BJJ, and I rolled with him for his birthday. And damn, I ain't going to lie to you. I was hoping he'd get tired, but he wasn't getting tired. So we went a while. I must have rolled like 45 minutes, dude. I feel fucking good. I feel like a fucking savage. But so does he. Happy birthday, Augie. His whole family trains with me.
Oh, really?
Wife, his daughter's like 15. She's old, so she's older than my daughter's 13. So she beats up on my daughter, gets her tough. His son, the wife, everybody trains at my school. So I had a good time with him. I gave out a couple of promotions, big googs, and to Purple Belt, and Eric to fucking Purple Belt as well. Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, bud. Let's bring in. We have Chan Sung Jung is waiting. Let's.
Oh shit! Get him in. Get him in!
Yes, let's bring him in here. Fighting Alexander Volkanovski on Saturday night for the featherweight championship. I'm really looking forward to this fight. Volkanovski has looked pretty incredible so far.
I'm just sitting there telling you about my...
That's all right. I mean, we got to start.
Waiting for the championship. Waiting.
That's all right. He's coming in. We'll get him in. Hello.
Oh, you see? Hi.
We see you. Yes, sir. How are you?
Good, good. Everything's good.
We haven't talked to you in a year and a half. Congratulations on getting this title shot. I know you have waited for a while to get a second shot at the title.
A lot of people have been congratulating him for getting the title shot. So he would like to be congratulated after he actually wins the belt. And it's been a long time since he got an opportunity to go for the belt again. And he's very excited and he's ready and anticipating to win the belt.
Hey, Zombie, I feel you, man. Don't you think sometimes people, oh, the belt, it mentally, it's another fight, right? It's another fight, Zombie. You're made for this stuff. Translate that, please.
That belt thing where everybody's like, wanting him to win the belt was actually, it did play a mental toll on him. So that's why he brought in a mindset coach to kind of like toughen up his mental and a mentality. And that really helped him out a lot in the preparation of the fight. And now he really doesn't care about whether or not he wins the belt. He looks at this as an opportunity to show how strong he is, show how talented and skilled he is. So he's thrilled to thrill for April 9th.
That's really interesting. And I love when fighters are honest about the mental issues too, or the mental things they have to grapple with. What did the mental coach help? How did he help? Was it when you would feel stress, he was able to calm you down? Or what was it that he was able to do for you?
Yeah. 당연히 a lot of people have been like telling him what kind of mentality he needs to bring on into the cage, but nobody told him why he needs to have that mentality when he goes up to the cage. So the mindset coach kind of actually explained why he needs to think in this way, why he needs this perspective. And, you know, the mindset coach explained about hormones. Like, if you think in this way, this hormone comes out, and that helps you physically in this way. So it was a very scientific and specific way of helping him build a strong mental. So in that sense, the mindset coach really helped him out a lot.
You know, because I was thinking about your fights, and I was thinking that you've always exhibited great toughness and great mental toughness, because after a loss, you always come back with something really, a TKO win. You seem to be somebody that handles adversity very well.
So it's all about learning. For him, he does handle adversities pretty well, but it's all about, because he thinks he's not perfect. I mean, he could handle it better. So it's all about striving towards improvement, trying to handle adversities better than he handles it right now. So that's what really helped him develop a lot, even though he's renowned for his mental and physical toughness.
I'll tell you, Jimmy, I cannot be more excited. Alexander Volkanovski, he's been looking unstoppable. Do you study a lot of tape with your coaches, or do you let them study the tape and just tell you what to do?
There are two types of analysis. There's zombies analysis, and there are the coaches analysis. So they analyze Volkanovski in both ways, and they get together, they talk about it, and then try to use that in sparring sessions where you know, a certain technique or a certain strategy would work better on Volkanovski or work better on the sparring partner he's fighting. So they kind of like sit down together and talk about their own opinions, and they put them together and come up with new strategies to win the belt.
And you did 2 years in the military. Was that really hard for you to step away from fighting, or because you knew you had to do it? Was it one of those things that it's a part of your life that you know you have to do? How did you make that adjustment to step away from such a good career and do your military service?
Good. So it's all about perspective. Like, for example, if somebody has to step away from the ring and go do military service, some might think, oh man, my career is over. I need to be away from the ring for 2 years. There's going to be ring rust and, you know, my career is going to be severely damaged. But then on the other hand, there are people who thinks, you know, this two year break would help me take a good break so that I'm in good condition when I step back in the ring. So it's all about perspective. Zombie's perspective is the latter. So he tried to think of it in a positive way. And he actually did take a good three year break and then came back with Bermudez. So he thinks it's a very positive. He thinks of it positively.
Perspective, Jimmy.
Yeah. Well, I guess being a fighter and your military schedule is probably not as hard for you because you're used to getting up and training. You're used to being on a schedule. You're used to doing things physically you don't want to do sometimes. So the military probably was not a difficult physical adjustment.
A lot of people misunderstand about Zombie's military service because he had a lot of injuries. He had the shoulder injury in the Aldo fight, and because his body was really kind of like, for the lack of a better word, messed up. The country gave him the opportunity to serve as a service agent, which does not require a lot of physical training. So he worked in the office, so he didn't really, you know, have any struggle with the military service.
Hey, you know what? I want enough of this MMA stuff. I want to know what the zombie does on his day off. What does he do to unwind when he's not training? Nothing to do with training. What does he like to do? Read a book, watch a movie? Tell me, Zombie.
I have. All right. So Zombie said, I don't know if you guys have like kids, but he has three kids. And so during his free time, he spends most of the time, you know, hang out with his kids, you know, trying to play with them.
Me too. We got that in common, Zombie.
Yeah. I don't have any. I don't have any kids. So my days off are boring. And you're feeling obviously very ready. How do you manage when you're getting ready for a fight like this? How do you manage the tension? And how do you manage being afraid, or how not to project too much? How do you manage your own headspace before you fight?
In the past, he probably would have been very pressured. Like, he would have felt the pressure, would have been very nervous about it. But right now, he's you know, mentally very prepared. And he thinks of it as an opportunity to show himself, like show his skills. It's been his like long time dream, like for his whole life. It's been like that in the past. It is still his goal right now. And he dare say it will be the biggest dream, like, in the future as well. So this is his biggest opportunity in his whole entire life. And the way he sees it is not look at it as an obligation to win, but to be able to enjoy the whole opportunity, because this is a big shot and nobody, you know, not a lot of people get this. So, you know, it's all about enjoying. So he's trying to enjoy this opportunity as much as he can.
I was going to say, Jimmy, speaking of enjoying every fight, people say that people like this fan favorites, guys are never in a boring fight. I mean, Korean Zombie, not only is he never in a boring fight, all his fights are spectacular. They're always like up for fight of the year. It's fucking amazing. Jimmy, Saturday night could not come soon enough. Let's not keep this man. Let's let him get out of here.
Okay, thank you.
And good luck on Saturday night. A lot of people are pulling for you. You really are loved by the fans. And Volkanovski is a great champion. I think his fight with Brian Ortega, him surviving, I think that third round really changed the way people felt about him. He's a legitimate champion. But a lot of people are pulling for you on Saturday night. So good luck on Saturday.
Thank you so much.
UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by Neds, the official wagering partner of the UFC in Australia. Aussie fight fans, keep an eye out for this weekend's UFC pay-per-view event as Neds offers a split decision return. This means if you place a head-to-head bet on any main card fight and your pick loses by split decision, Neds will pay you out as a winner. Plus, you can pump up your odds with a UFC multi simply by combining your favorite markets across all fights on the card. The action doesn't stop with UFC. Neds has everything you need to take it to the Neds level, regardless of what you bet on. For those sports punters, Neds Same Game Multi is now available on more sports than ever before. And for the racing fanatics, Neds Blended is available on all three racing codes. Blended lets you pick multiple runners to win in the same race at special blended odds. It's never been easier for you to be paid out as a winner. Look, whatever you bet on, take it to the Neds level. UFC markets exclude South Australian residents. Split decision return eligible on first $250 stake. Minimum blended odds are $1.10. Terms and conditions apply are available on the Neds website. Remember to always gamble responsibly. Please call 1-800-858-858. This episode of UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by Crypto.com, the official crypto partner of UFC. You've definitely seen their logo on our UFC gear, and crypto is something I'm getting into, so this is really a helpful site. With over 10 million users around the world, Crypto.com is the fastest growing crypto app, letting you easily buy and sell more than 150 cryptocurrencies. You can even buy Bitcoin with as little as $1. Crypto.com also offers the most popular crypto card in the world. The Crypto.com Visa card offers up to 8% back on most purchases, and it comes with amazing perks. 100% rebate for your Netflix, Spotify, and Amazon Prime subscriptions. If you already own some crypto, did you know that Crypto.com offers some of the most competitive reward rates of the industry? You can get up to 8.5% on your Bitcoin or Ethereum, 12% on your USDC, and more. Find out how much you can earn by visiting Crypto.com. Get $25 when you apply for a Crypto.com metal Visa card on the Crypto.com app using code UFC25. Again, it's $25 when you apply for the card using code UFC25. It's first come, first serve, so act fast. Download the Crypto.com app now on the App Store or Google Play.
Jimmy, so much fun with the zombie.
I like him a lot, yeah.
It's always a little strange with a translator because I get animated, I ramble, I feel bad for the guy.
You always want to make sure that it's being translated properly. You always want to make sure. That's why I try to talk a little slower. Not because I think the guy is dumb, but just because I know that when they're translating, they're trying to hear you, remember what you say, and translate it. And that's a horrible job, translating. That's a rough job, man.
All I know is I get kind of animated, and there's times when I feel like the Korean zombie was looking at me like I'm a cartoon character. I'm like, ah, zombie. He's like, ooh. So I don't know, because he might not understand what I'm saying. So I get it. I'm a little much.
No. So, no, Matt.
Jimmy, I was very loud this morning.
Matt.
I'll just be rolling, Jimmy, and I'll just scream, let's go. I'll be like, let's fucking go. And his new students there, they're like, what the fuck?
That's all right. I yell that while I'm jerking off. I'm just.
Oh, shit, I'm lighting it.
Hey, you want to predict a couple of these fights before we have Alexei Oleinik too, who's actually fighting on the early prelims against Jared Vandaar, which is crazy. Let's do a couple of picks because this is such a fuck. I mean, I'm judging a Rosenstrike, Marcin Tybura. That's a prelim fight. Mickey Gall's on the prelims. Pennington Aspen Ladd is on the prelims. There's some incredibly good fights. Anthony Hernandez against Josh Framed is on the early prelims. There's some incredible fights. Vince Pichel, Marco Madsen is the opening fight.
Wow.
What do you think?
You know, I'm going to go. I like them both. I really do.
They're both coming off two wins.
I know Mark's
undefeated.
Undefeated. But I'm going to go with Vince. I'm going to go with Vince by decision. You know, by decision and by kill a mustache.
I think Madsen takes it.
If I'm on the fence,
yep.
The mustache makes me root for that guy. I'm only fucking around. But I like Vince. I think Vince is a well-rounded guy. I think because he's so quiet, he doesn't get enough praise. You know, he only has a couple of losses. And, you know, he's a fucking dangerous guy. I like Vince Pichel.
Yeah. I'm going to take, I think Madsen stays undefeated.
Oh, well, you're so fucking cool, Jimmy.
I think he wins. I'm going to say he stops him in the second round. I wanted to go with decision, but because you said decision, I got to take something different.
You ever think of your friends that died, Jimmy?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to throw that. Jeez, I thought I'd just throw that in there.
No, I do, of course.
I'm so not trying to depress you right now.
Oh, it's okay.
But
believe me, people are wishing it was me.
I've been watching stuff with your old pal Patrice O'Neill. I'm so sorry. Well, I don't want to get you emotional.
No, I'm okay. I loved him.
You have no heart.
No, I do. Patrice is one of the toughest deaths I've had in my life. It's still a really hard one. But, you know, I'm happy that, A, it makes me grateful I'm still alive. Like when your friends die of natural cause, it makes you grateful you're alive. And I also, I'm lucky I was as close to him as I was. And I knew him as well as I did. And I had a tremendous amount of interactions with him.
It's weird how did you ever have like some people die? You're like, I don't know. You feel like affection. You didn't know them as well. I'm not with me with Patrice O'Neill out there. I'm just saying, like,
yeah, I know what you're saying. Sure.
Like there's some people or whatever. I don't know. It's weird. But I've been watching stuff with him lately. And I told you that Norm MacDonald one kind of hit me hard. That
Norm was great. Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed his body of work. And it's like, it kind of sucks that you're not going to get anything more out of him. Like, now, that might be selfish, but
no, it's common.
You know, it's so, I don't know.
It's also sometimes it's just a simple fact of when you don't know somebody as well, you're just so used to them being alive and knowing that they exist and knowing, oh, wow, like Bob Saget doesn't exist anymore or Louis. I mean, these are guys who are friends of mine, but you know what I mean? Like sometimes the death of a person you're familiar with affects you more and we're not sure why. But yeah, I've had a few lately. It's really getting older. You know, it's going to happen more and more. And at least you makes you grateful to still be alive.
Right? Hey, back to feeling good on UFC Unfiltered.
Mackenzie Dern, Tiesha Torres.
Yeah, we get deep sometimes. Listen.
Mackenzie coming off a decision loss to Rodriguez.
Tough call. Oh, wow. You know what's great about this?
What?
Is Tiesha, this is fucking great. This is a really interesting fight. Because Tiesha is very good at playing on top. But is she going to be able to do that with Mackenzie Dern? Is she going to be able to close down? Because I believe a lot of it's going to be grappling. I think it's going to start standing. And then I think it's going to get into most likely Tiesha getting on top, you know? And I want to see this grappling exchange. I think this is a very interesting fight because of that. Because Tisha is she uses her wrestling, her MMA wrestling is very high. And Mackenzie Dern's a very high level black belt. You know what I mean? She's very good. She's really good. So I'm going to say Dern by submission. I'm going to say she spent so much time on the floor that she's going to find a way to get a submission. Ah, fuck. Sorry. That's my knee.
That was my original guess, my original pick. And now I'm going to say Dern by decision. I was going to say a second round stoppage again, but I'm going to say Mackenzie Dern by decision.
Sometimes my knee locks out, bro. I rolled today for like almost 50 minutes. Fine. Good. Mounting, fucking reversals. Now fucking, and it's fine. Sitting here, my knee. Anyway, Jimmy, you said what?
Now, I'm going to take Dern by decision. And one of the biggest fights of this card, everyone is talking about Gilbert Burns, Khamzat Chimaev.
Oh my, Jimmy.
Everyone.
I'm sorry, I didn't say what round with the submission, did I?
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you said second. Maybe I'm wrong.
Did I say second?
No.
I am saying second right now. All right, let's keep going. This is exciting, Jimmy. Gilbert, now, let me point out a fight. First, you do yours, and then I'll tell you what I think, because I want to talk.
Chimaev has been devastating against Li Jing Liang and, of course, Gerald Meerschaert. And he's beaten some good fighters, and he has not made it out of the first round more than twice. Three times he's gone in the second round. Gilbert Burns has beaten Wonder Boy. Again, he got stopped by Kamaru, beat Tyron, beat Damian Maya, beat Gunnar Nelson. Everyone is thinking that Chimaev, this is just his next step on the way to maybe getting a shot at Kamaru Usman. I am going to take Gilbert Burns. I know Gilbert was dropped by Kamaru Usman, but I think everyone is sleeping on Gilbert Burns, which I think is a mistake. And I'm thinking that Chimaev may make that mistake as well. I think Burns is going to, how does he do it? He obviously has knockout power, but I don't think he's going to knock Chimaev out. Is he going to tap him? I think he beats him by decision. Here's what I think is going to happen.
Wow.
I think that Chimaev may get a little frustrated not being able to do exactly what he wants to do with Gilbert Burns. He's not used to going out of the second round. Gilbert has been there before. I think Gilbert beats him by decision.
I like where your head's at. This is what I think. This is where my head's at. And what I keep thinking of, and this is why I think Gilbert has a way better chance than people are giving him credit for. I know Damien, you know, you could put, and I was just watching something with Khamzat where he's like, listen, who did he beat lately? You know, he goes, he cried when he lost to Usman. Dude, he's kind of funny. Khamzat's fucking hysterical. He's not even saying it like, he's not writing this shit down. He's just saying, listen, he loses, he cries. Fucking, it's hysterical. So he's saying, he cried when he lost to Usman. And then when he beat Damian Maia, who's 40 years old. I'm going to point to that Damian Maia fight. You could also point to Gunnar Nelson, but I'm going to point to Damian Maia because Damian Maia could, I don't care if he's 40 or not, he's still extremely dangerous in certain positions.
Yep.
And he was imposing his jiu-jitsu, his grappling on Gilbert. Gilbert, when Gilbert says he's good on the floor, I think he's being very modest. He's very good on the floor. I think he could be doing well on the grappling circuit. He's that high level of a black belt, you know? So if you think he's just a guy that puts a gi on and does some jiu-jitsu, no, he knows how to, he's very dangerous top and bottom. But getting back to that Damian Maia fight, you've seen him, his poise when he was really like with his, in the with his head in like the lion's mouth. Like he was just very calm under fire in very bad positions. And he had the timing to execute his escapes with his jiu-jitsu. He actually gets into a little bit of a scramble playing jiu-jitsu, playing a grappling game, and then uses that to get up. And then when he did that, he knocked him out. So I'm looking at similar things here where if Khamzat tries to force the grappling, it's going to be different than a guy like Jay Ling, who was just trying to stand up in his last fight, you know, and then getting his back and finishing him. I think that he can get very bad positions on Gilbert, and Gilbert has the strength in his jiu-jitsu defense to not only survive, but turn the tables, at least get to his feet, if not get on top, and, you know, possibly hurt him from there. The only thing I'm worried about with those kind of scrambles, if he gets out and gets back up, who's gonna break first with endurance? He got up, he got out, and he knocked out Damian Meyer off a lazy jab, or when Damian Meyer went to hit him with a jab. If he has these scrambles and does not knock out Khamzat, Khamzat being 27, Gilbert being 35, that's my main concern.
Yeah.
If he starts to get worse to wear first, if he starts, so that's going to be, that's what it comes down to. So, man, so it's very exciting. I'm more than anybody else, I'm super excited about this fight.
And Chimaev, by the way, was 24-0 as a wrestler too. So he's obviously, he has endurance. I wasn't implying that he didn't. I'm just saying in MMA, he hasn't gone past the second round.
Now, sometimes I go more with my, I don't have a horse in the race here. I don't
right.
know, guys. I mean, Gilbert's been on a couple of times. We like Gilbert.
Sure.
I don't know Khamzat, but I like Khamzat.
Yeah.
I like him. I think he's a fucking beast. I like his whole thing with Darren Till. I think that's fucking, I think they got a little bromance going. I think it's hysterical. It's funny.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I am a jiu-jitsu man. I'm going with Gilbert. I think it's jiu-jitsu. If he doesn't get a submission, it will enable him to get back to, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a submission, his neck or a back, maybe a finish, but it will enable him, his defense on the floor, to get back to his feet. And from there, possibly a knockout. So I don't know, either knockout or submission. Is that too broad a thing, a knockout or submission?
No, because I'm saying decision, and then I'm thinking, when is the last time Chimaev...
Gilbert stoppage first round. He's going to be the most dangerous first round. He's going to escape some bad positions. Khamzat's going to try to make a decision. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, no, it's okay, buddy.
Khamzat's going to try to make a fucking another example of him. He's not just going to be able to pick him up, put him down, and finish him. If he doesn't smash him right away like he says he does, you know, I want to see what happens. So...
Okay, yeah, that's an interesting point. You might be right, Matt.
I'm the first to say I might be wrong.
No, but let's go. And obviously, before we talk about Aljo and Piotr Jan, Volkanovski, Chan Sung Jung, I mean, an interesting fight. I know, Max Holloway dropped out, so Jung got the fight. And I know Volkanovski's a pretty heavy favorite. And it's, you know, again, I still think that... he lost one of those Holloway fights, if not both, but definitely one of them. But he's still that Ortega fight. I mean, he's as tough as they come, and he's a really legit champ. I want to see Chan Sung Jung win. I just like to see guys who haven't had a chance to hold the belt get it. But sometimes I bet with my heart and not my head. But I'm going to keep doing that. I say Chan Sung Jung. Because I want him to win. Again, I want him to get a chance to feel that.
Volkanovski decision. I like, you know, this Korean Zombie's hard to put down, man. Hard to put away. I know he's been taken out, but he's going to be there in his face. But I think Alexander Volkanovski, the champ, he's got some battles. He shows such perseverance. Yeah. He's caught in chokes that other people would have tapped out and pissed themselves. And he fucking just... He just gutted himself out. He's very gritty. He's technical. He's my height. I'm going with Volkanovski.
Yeah, I mean, Volkanovski, basically, you have to run him over with a fucking fire truck to knock him out. So I'm going to say Chan Sung Jung by decision. I think it's a decision. It might just come down to one round. I don't think it's a... But I think that Volkanovski is just a little too difficult to put away. We have Alexi Olenek coming in. Which I can't believe we've never talked to him fighting Jara Vandara on the early prelims. I'm happy that he's fighting.
I love his grappling. Nice. I love his grappling. I do. I really, really do. I love his fighting in general.
Yeah. I mean, 44 years old and still literally just putting guys to sleep. Crazy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Oleski, look, I'll tell you right now, I think you're getting younger. I mean, look at you.
Yes, I'm younger year by year.
I'll tell you, you look great, man. Lee, what is your secret? Did you find the fountain of youth? How are you still in there at 44? I mean, I'm a little bit older than you. My fucking knees are shot.
Almost 45.
Unbelievable. And you're looking great, man.
Have you been at 44 to look as good as you look and to be as competitive as you are? Have you had moments where you thought like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore, and you just can't picture life without fighting?
Really, I have two secrets. One secret.
Hey! Hello.
And second secret, my 4 or 5 kids who wait me in the home. But really, I just train a lot. I think positively, and I don't know, this real warrior way, because I just train and think good and think positive in my head.
Oleski, let me ask you about specifically your grappling. What did you start with? I'm a jiu-jitsu man. I love watching you fight because I'm a submission guy. I love your naked Ezekiel. I freaking love. I know guys that know it's coming. You're still getting it from everywhere. I love it. But in general, your reversals, your control, your jiu-jitsu is beautiful. But what did you start with the grappling?
Yes, you're right. I grapple with many, many great fighters, with black belts, super black belts, and everything good. No, usually, many guys can submit me, but only in gym, not on the mat. This is very important for me. I don't know. I just love grapple. I love jiu-jitsu, and I learn my style many years. Because it's one of the favorite styles.
What did you start with? How old were you when you started grappling? Was it jiu-jitsu, judo? What was it?
19. First time I come in 1996, I start my training. First time coming to gym. I never trained before. I trained before 1 month box, 1 month karate, 1 month taekwondo. But this was not very interesting for me, because my coach said, if you boxer, no legal clinch, no legal takedown, no legal nothing. If you study judo, no legal punch, no legal choke, no legal nothing. And I, in my mind, I will try find martial arts where I can do everything, where I can punch, where I can choke, where I can work on the ground or standing, everything. This was very important for me.
Was there anything that motivated you to go into the gym? Like, were you just bored, or you wanted to learn it, or what made you actually decide to start?
I don't know. Different time was this a different motivation for me. First, when I start study martial arts, this was motivation, prove myself I can do that. I'm not afraid. I'm not pussy boy.
That's my nickname.
A strong guy. I will be. I must defend myself. I must defend my friend, my family, my kids, and everyone who is weak. This was my first goal. After I was proved my gym, my coach, my country, flag of my country. But I prove for myself again. This look like circle, circle. And 25 years ago, I won't prove myself. in a big age, in many difficulties, but I still fighting the best promotion in the world with best and strongest guy in the world. That's very important for me, for myself, not for this guy, for this guy, for my fans, for somebody else. Most important this for me right now.
Let me ask you, Oleksiy, when you're done fighting, hopefully not for many years, but let's say your wife says you're done getting punched, no more fighting. Could we ever see you in like an Abu Dhabi or a submission grappling or something like that, still testing your skills? Not now, maybe in your 50s, whenever you're done fighting. A grappling circuit. You ever think about doing something like that? Because I would love to see your jiu-jitsu in a grappling match on the world stage with that.
Thank you. Why not? If I got a good proposition, I'm with pleasure grapple everywhere. But you know, before I take part competition many times in combat sambo, in grappling too, in United States and other country. Most my competition I win, but this is not my first goal right now. First goal right now, of course, UFC.
Can I point out that I really enjoyed your win over Werdum? I thought that win was, because if you look on paper, he's such a high-level jiu-jitsu player, and you're known for your grappling, you would think, man, he's a big guy. He's got very good jiu-jitsu. But the way you played your defense and you timed your counters, and then you survived the Kimuras, and you kept your calm, and you beat a guy that people thought would maybe submit you. It was awesome. I loved it. I'm just, now that I'm talking to you, I just wanted to tell you that. What did you think when you were matched up with him?
With pleasure. Fabrício Werdum, big respect for me, but I'm ready for a grapple match. But you know, when I just signed in UFC many years ago, I know about the best grappler in UFC. This is Fabrício Werdum in my weight. Everyone knows that. Nobody don't want to grapple with Fabrício. And this was my challenge for myself. I'm afraid, you know, this side, I'm afraid, Fabrício, and this side, I must fight with him, because I don't want to live in my soul with this afraid. I must fight, because we must know who is better.
Would you rather lose a fight and know the answer than never fight someone and not know the answer?
It depends from God and from my head and head of Fabrício, and this, you know, this was a very, very cool checkmate match.
Yes.
Not only muscle, not only how big your fist, how strong your head. This was a very, very smart match.
Technical.
I know if I just try submit him, he tries submit me, this is not very interested for fans, for everybody. And I, of course, Fabrício worked with this match and many times. This was difficult for me and difficult mentality. But thanks God, we do that.
And what did you do? What kind of work did you do when you were a younger guy? Before you were fighting full time, what kind of jobs did you have when you were coming up?
You know, my English not enough to explain everything. But before I start martial arts professional, I have many other professionals, more than 20. I was a music group producer. I was a bodyguard. I work a lawyer.
You're a lawyer?
Yes, I am a detective. I have a police. I study police 5, almost 6 years, and I work in the police. I was a detective. And many other professionals.
Wow. So being a lawyer, it's good because you can look over your own contracts and you probably are able to read a contract better than most fighters since you have experience with the law and stuff like that.
Yes, but you know, you can work in any profession, of course, but you must prove to yourself. If I don't want work any professional, maybe lawyer, maybe other professional, and think, oh, maybe I can fight in UFC, maybe I can fight in Pride, and I can Pride, maybe, maybe, yes, maybe no. And I choose this way of my life. When I choose this way, I make, I give all my possibilities, I give myself all for this way.
And what kind of music did you produce? Was there one style or one band?
You know, this was like psychedelic.
Psychedelic.
Together with rock.
Sounds trippy. Rave music. Like boom, boom, boom.
No, not
boom. Rave. Like this type of stuff?
No, not rave, Matt. Not like rave. This? I'm sorry. No, but, it's not rave.
No?
Rock. Rock and psychedelic together.
Oh.
Now, do you play any instruments, or do you sing, or do you just produce?
No, just produce. I'm not very good musician.
What a fascinating guy, though. You have a very full life outside of fighting. So after you're done fighting, you can probably have a bunch of different directions you can go in, whatever that is. It's great.
Yes.
Well, look, good luck against Jared Vandara on Saturday night. You're a phenom, and the fact that you are still fighting at 44 and you still are as competitive in every fight, again, fans love you, and I'm happy that you're still fighting, and have a great fight on Saturday.
Thank you very much. With God's help.
All right, Alexi.
Thanks, Alexi. Appreciate it.
Matt, thank you very much.
What an interesting guy, though, like to have had all those skills, the lawyer. I don't know why we don't think fighters can be lawyers, but that's just an interesting thing to learn.
Jimmy, when he was matched up with Verdum, I really thought he was going to have a hard time. And it looked that way. But what a chess match. He's really calm on the fire, man. And he's one of those guys you're like, oh, man, is he slowing down? Also, he's coming in with these big hooks. And he's like got perseverance. He's got a style unique to his own. It's not just a grappler. The next thing you know, he's punching you in the face. You know, he has unique submissions where it's a rarity. Nine out of 10 guys aren't going to pull off a naked Ezekiel with gloves on. It's a naked choke. What I mean by naked is you don't have to wear a jacket or a gi. So he's using his arms, and he just has this choke. He's closing your carotid arteries. And you know it's coming, and he's still getting it. So it's pretty amazing. He's an amazing individual.
Yeah, he really is. And I should have asked him more about the Mark Hunt fight, because that was such a good fight in that his leg was taking such a beating. And I forget who was calling the fight. I want to say Paul Felder. But they were talking about how the nerve in that leg gets dead and it's hard for you to shoot for takedowns. And he wound up taking a really hard shot from Mark Hunt. And he wound up dropping Mark Hunt. That was a great fucking fight. And then he wound up strangling him. Really, really great fight. So I should have asked him about that, but wasn't meant to be. All right, Matt, we got to cover these last couple of fights. We covered the main event. Now, obviously, we can't, you don't have to do a pick Petr Yan against Aljamain Sterling.
Yeah, I was very involved in the camp, you know, sure. Down there for the sparring and whatnot. So I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm going with Sterling.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
I'll tell you what I thought after the fact.
I'm going to take Aljo, but I'm going to tell you why I'm going to take Aljo. I'm going to take Aljo, even though Petr Yan is extremely tough. I think that Aljo finds a way to get on his back. And again, like when, no matter how tough, Mark Hunt is tough, but if you get the neck, it doesn't matter if you can't breathe. I think Aljo gets him in the third round. That's what I'm predicting. Sterling remains the champion. Third round, I think he gets on his back.
Jimmy, yeah, I'll tell you. I'm very similar to your thinking, what you're thinking, but we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
Jimmy, I can't wait for the weekend for the fights. It's so exciting. A movie that I recently revisited, and I'll tell you right now, I did not think much of it the first time because it's very long, and it could be boring to some if they're not into it. But you know what? I don't know why, but I gave it another chance while I was shaving my head and doing my bathroom business on my iPad, you know?
Sure.
And it's called Blade Runner 2049, the sequel to Blade Runner. What is it, 2029? I don't know. You got me. It's a sequel to the Harrison Ford one.
Okay.
He's in this one also. But did you ever see it?
No.
I'll tell you, it's one of those, it's really deep. And I'm going to say it's all about, if I had to watch this in the theater, it'd probably be a little too much. It's one of those things where it's long. You'd have to see it if you're very, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed or whatever.
Sure.
It's a long, slow burn. But there's a lot going on. It's very deep. And I enjoyed it thoroughly. The main guy in it, who the fuck is he? Guys, who's in Blade Runner 2049? The main character in it.
Gerard Depardieu.
Stop it, Jimmy. Stop. Oh. No, don't say Mr. Bean. It's not either one of those guys.
Ah, see, Rowan Atkins. Okay.
No. Ryan Gosling. Isn't he from
Gosford Park?
Isn't he from Throwback Mountain? Brokeback Mountain? Throwback.
No, was that him? No, that was Heath Ledger and
I'm way off.
Is that Gyllenhaal? Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, I'm sorry, but this guy's got that kind of look.
But you want to see him in a Brokeback Mountain situation. I understand. That slipped out, man. You want to go camping with him.
Why you got to be so weird, Jimmy? Well, I'll tell you, he was great in this. And the female, there's some crap. Guys, what's the cast on this? I should really do my homework. The characters, what does that say? Anna de Armas. I don't know which one was that. I don't got a picture. I don't know. Listen, they were great. And also, I forget the blonde in it who was the she was the another cop, and she was like the human cop that was helping. But anyway, listen, it's basically a Blade Runner is it's based they're like cops that are they hunt down like rogue like fucking cyborgs like they look human but they're robots. They kill, they find them and they exterminate them. The ones that are like, that went south or something.
Right.
You know, older models that are, you know, that type of thing. And it gets pretty deep. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Blade Runner 2049. I'm going to go ahead and say it. What I'm not enjoying, and I gave up on, is that Vikings Valhalla. It's fucking
lame. Okay.
What a shame. Because I was trying to give it a chance. And I just,
sure.
I'm not, this is the problem. If I'm four episodes deep, and I'm not connecting to any characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm out.
Sometimes the second episode you got to get to, like sometimes you go through something like Yellowstone. I enjoyed the first one and the second one. I was like, I'll give that another shot on the second episode. But like if you're four episodes in, fucking forget it.
And what I would recommend is that Reacher is pretty good on Amazon Prime. I'm enjoying that. I enjoy that guy who's playing him. He was Hawk on Hawk and Dove on Titans. He's a big dude. He was in the Ninja Turtles, whatever. I forgot his name. But that Reacher's a good one. But I'll tell you, I gave up on Vikings Valhalla. And if you got like 2 hours and a half or almost close to 3 hours to kill or spread or spread out during how many days, watch that Blade Runner.
Okay.
It's like a smart sci-fi, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it very much. Hey, that's it, Jimmy. What else?
I'm good, man. I'm going to Poughkeepsie Friday and Saturday. At the Laugh It Up Comedy Club. Week after that is DC. So go to my website. I got New Jersey coming up. I got Delaware coming up. And I'm going to talk to you this weekend, Matt, about these fights. I cannot wait. Saturday night, Volkanovski, Chan Sung Jung. This is an incredible card. UFC 273, of course. It's from Veterans Memorial Arena in Jacksonville, Florida. Early prelims are 6. Prelims 8. Main card, 10 p.m.
This Saturday, I'm going to be helping out the NYPD. I had this plan for a little bit, and I'm
looking nice.
Forward to it. It's going to be a two hour like seminar and like meet and greet and stuff. But I'm going to be helping out the police with some of. They have a jiu-jitsu team, the NYPD jiu-jitsu team. So I'm going there to go over some of my favorite techniques. You know, we'll be getting out of some bad positions, having some fun. You know what I mean? So it's going to be a jiu-jitsu party over there. So that's where I'm going to be. I'm going to be in the academy in where is it? Not Astoria. I don't know. I'll be with the police, the NYPD team, police jiu-jitsu team this Saturday. But and that's during the morning, and then at the nighttime, I'm obviously watching the fucking fights. Jimmy, you'll be performing, so should I not text you anything?
No, don't text me because a lot of times I'll watch during in between shows. I'll watch a little, and then I'll watch usually the main, I'll catch some of the main card when I get home enough to go back and watch the opening fights again on Fight Pass. So you don't text me until after because from 10 to 12, I'll probably be working.
How about this? I will text you. How about this? You'll text me when you're watching that way.
Okay. I'll text you. You'll see. It'll be a little kiss emoji or you'll know it's me.
No eggplant emojis. Jimmy, no. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
All right, pal. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, buddy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.